I have a thought on my heart tonight. I feel like I need the Lord to be able to bring it out the way He'd have me to. And I'd like to start with a few verses in the book of Joshua. 24th chapter, 14th verse. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him sincerely and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we also serve the Lord. We will also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that ye have done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourself that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. In common scripture here, we use it a lot in these kind of messages. Choose you this day. And I want to look at that too, the idea of the choices that we make. They came to a certain place that they had to make a decision here, and I noticed that what had compelled them, when they come up to the point, and He says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, and here's the two. Another scripture said something, I've set before you life and death, good and evil. You're going to have to make the choice. And the choices that they made seemed to be greatly influenced by what God had done for them in the past. And the choices that was made by the people that was before them. They made choices in their lives and brought God to them, and then they have a foundation and an experience there. Do you know the choices that we make make a lot of difference in what life will be from that point on? It might not be instantly, but choices really make a difference. I heard a guy speaking at a school board meeting, and he was talking about how in our world today that so many people want to be the victims of something. And he made a comment to the school board. He said, I teach my children. You're a victim of three things. Your own ignorance, your own laziness, and your own bad choices. I don't want to deal with the first two so much, but I want to deal with the third one that he said, that he teaches his children, you will be a victim. You're not victim to any, you are victim to your own ignorance, your own laziness, and you will be a victim to your own bad choices. And that is so true. We will have to deal with the choices that we make in life. And the Lord says, make good choices. We talk to the young people a lot about that, and it's generally because young people have so much more life ahead of them to allow the choices that they make to make a difference in their life. Do you know early choices in your life can make a big difference about how you think about things, how you come out about things? We often will say, be careful about the way you approach your, what do you say, romance, or the way you approach a life's companion, the way you do those things. It's tedious at best. It's got somebody else involved in it. But we often will say this is because this person will be the closest person that you've ever had in your life. And the fact that they can influence your life is obvious that they can influence your life. And they may make an eternal difference in your life. And so there's why we're saying be very careful in those kind of areas about the choices that you make. But it's not like to say make a choice about this 10 years later to whether you're going to keep going to service or not. We're trying to say make a choice when it matters the most, when it seems maybe insignificant, is when it counts the most. Because choices and what we do in life make so much difference. It might be the fact that you just make a choice to put God in it and pray about it longer than you think you normally would, or get an answer from the Lord, get serious about the Lord and get an answer, and have the willingness that the Lord will change my perspective of things, that I can get a right choice. Amen. So that I can do the things that I need to do, because choices really, really matter in life. There can be very bad choices that are there because there wasn't a carefulness or a concern about things. I'm reminded of a story that I heard recently of some young people out, you know, doing what young people do, trying to have fun and excitement. Young people like excitement, and you know, you want to push it to the limits. And anyway, there was some young people. They was up on this big high, like train trestle over a body of water, and it was a long, I don't know how far, I don't want to exaggerate, but it was a long ways down to the water. And there was a young girl that she was up there and she was getting ready to jump off of there into the water. And some other young person, a friend, some other young person thought that it was funny to shove her off. She's standing there getting ready to go, but it was a long, long ways to the water. You couldn't hit the water wrong. And she was trying to get the courage to jump. And the other girl pushed her, which caused her to go off out of balance. And she hit the water. And she's paralyzed today because of a choice that a friend made. And it wasn't malicious. It was in the spirit of fun or excitement, as young people would do. We look at it and say, Lord, help us to understand things better. Lord, help me to make better choices, that some things just aren't worth it. There's some things that's just not funny. It's not worth what it might happen here when I make this choice in a peer pressure situation. I believe that's what it was. I remember, right? It was kind of a situation. And now the girl, one girl is paralyzed and the other has on her life. The fact that she did something that paralyzed this other girl, and she done it in a peer pressure situation to where she wanted to be cool. She wanted to be fun. She wanted to be one of those. And she made a choice in life to do something that made a horrendous thing happen. Can I say that was a bad choice? And that you are a victim. You will be a victim of your own bad choice. You will have to deal in your lifetime with the bad choices that you make. I'm reminded of another story. I heard this on the radio many years ago, but there was a story and said there was a situation. It was over in Virginia, I remember, and a guy, a young man, was out practicing with his, he had a pistol of some kind. He was out practicing with it one early morning, and when he come back in, he had a girlfriend, as was the position it was, but he come back, and when he come back in, she's sitting at the kitchen table, and he comes back in and he lays the pistol down on the table and pointed towards the girlfriend. Then the girlfriend says, hey, don't point the gun at me. you got the gun. And the guy says, oh, the gun ain't, it's not loaded. And she says, I don't care whether it's loaded or not. Don't point the gun at me. And he says, it isn't loaded. He picks it up. It isn't loaded. It won't hurt you. And blew the side of her face off. Here's the point. That's careless. It's indifferent. It isn't given the respect to the moment and the place that it should have been given respect for. There's a thing to say, I'm not invincible. We're not invincible. Things can happen. Things can happen anyway. I understand that. But we're going to be victims of our own choices. And sometimes the choices go way before you accidentally blow the side of your girlfriend's face off. It goes way back to the having a kind of respect for thing and honor for thing. There's a teaching about these kind of things that needs to be respected. There's some good safeguards to these kind of things to where you don't point a firearm at somebody. That you take respect of that and you take the position, you understand that, and you say, this is what I'm going to be because I want to be somebody that makes a good choice. I want to make the right choices because I'm going to be either a beneficiary or I'm going to be a victim of the choices that I make in life. In this scripture here, they ended up making a choice. They said, we're not going to give up. God forbid that we give up on the Lord that brought us over the Red Sea. Well, I can say this, God forbid that I give up on the Lord that I've seen do so many healings in my family, that has blessed us so many times, that's supported us over the years. Lord, the ones that I've seen faithful and give their lives to give us messages and they give their life and their time and their to meet the Lord that they can have. God forbid that we would turn away from the Lord that blessed these people like that. So I can say in our own lives, Lord, help us to make the right decisions, the right choices in life. Because we're either going to be a benefactor of it or we're going to be a victim of it. A couple years ago, I run into an old friend that I hadn't seen in many, many, many years. And he told me a story. He said that he wanted to build a chapel. He was a very religious man, and he wanted to build a chapel. He said a church, but I'm saying chapel because that's what it was. He wasn't trying to build a church. He was trying to build a chapel for the congregation, and he didn't have no money. And he said, I got this phone call, and the phone call said, hey, you know, we've got some money for you. And he hangs up the phone. You know, I mean, nobody's got no money for you is what he said. Well, he gets a call again. Later, he gets a call and said, listen, you know, we really need you to pay attention here. We got some money. He hung the phone up. Well, he wasn't there later, and they call, and his wife answers the phone and says, listen, we really need you to pay attention here. We've got money for you. And she said, well, why you got money? And said, yeah, you have this stock that, and this company is getting ready to do this and this, and you have this stock, and this brother told me, he said he had bought and forgot about many, many, many years ago, before that, he had bought these penny stock. He just bought the stock, and he didn't remember. He forgot about it, and that was it. Well, the company grew until it wasn't penny stock anymore. And it kept going and going. And over the decades that it was there, it had accrued a lot of money and all this. And he said, I was going to dismiss them all together. But he said, I've been praying about getting the money to build this chapel. And he said, all of a sudden, when it got out, he said, well, you have $79,000, whatever it was, 70-some thousand dollars. I mean, we have this, you're in this stock that you need to get. And the point of this is that we little penny stock, a decision made years and years before had made a big difference and had grew, good or bad, this is life. The things that you do can make a big difference in your life. One decision that you make can alter your family life. It can alter your marriage. One decision that will start to going. I decide to do this or I decide to do that. That can either give you a direction towards the Lord or give you a direction away from the Lord. And that very moment of decision many times is made at those crucial times. And it makes a huge difference what it ends up, whether it's going to be at the end a blessing coming to it where you get dividend from it or where there's a curse hooked at the end of it. Choices. Victims of bad choices. Lord help us in scripture over in Jeremiah 6th chapter. Six and let's see where I wanted to add. I'll pick it up in the 16. 6 and 16 of Jeremiah says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, ye shall find rest to your souls." But they said, "We will not walk therein." And here is the analogy that goes along with this. I used this recently at home and maybe then at Neo Show. But the analogy that goes along with this is a traveler that's traveling up road and he's going somewhere. But he comes up to a decision. Which way do I go? There's a split. There's a fork in the road. Minded me of a place in over where I grew up that was called Five Forks. It's up this old dirt, dusty road, and you get to a certain point. It was called Five Forks for a reason, and you could probably figure out what it was. You come up, and there was four other directions. So there's a bicycle spokes, but there's five roads that goes off from one place, and you come up to that. It was called Five Forks, and I can remember that I didn't know much about it. So when I was with my dad, he always knew this road went here, this one goes here, you go here with this one, this one here, and this one goes here. And this is the analogy is, if you can think about this, somebody's going, and they got a direct, they know where they want to go. And they come up to a place like that and they know where they want to go, but they don't know which one of these roads go there. And the Lord is saying here, choices matter. And which one of these paths you take is really going to matter. It's going to make a big difference in the attitude that you have. You know, there's times I believe this in my own life. And if it isn't true for everybody's life, well, forgive me for it, but I believe that the Lord loves us so much and is so faithful that he will correct us in our courses. I know that the Lord has helped me many, many times in the attitudes and positions, and the Lord has been very faithful to work with me in my life. And so I really think that some of the people in the scriptures that if I can apply that to them, I think God chose King Saul when he was a humble man. And he picked him to be king, and he had intentions to make a king out of him, but he let the position of being a king go to his head. And I believe that there was places to where the Lord said, "Saul, that's not a good place to be, because if you follow this course, the choice that you made about whether you're going to humble yourself down and let me work or whether you're going to do it yourself is going to pay a big dividend at the end of this thing. There's going to be something to pay for down there." I believe Saul was in that kind of a place. He got to the place that he was impatient. He got to a place that the Lord had sent. If you remember, there was an evil spirit come to him. He got to this kind of a place. The Lord had told the children of Israel over there, "If you make the wrong choice, it's not going to be well with you. If you make the wrong choice, I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to bring something." Saul made the wrong choice. The wrong thing comes. Folks, it's the mechanics of this thing. You don't have the Lord. You got something. And the end of it was they come down to a choice. He made these choices, and all of a sudden he come time to make the offering. He wanted the offering. He wanted to make the offering to the Lord. He wanted to do that. Said, "No, Saul, it's not your job. It's not your job to do it. You're not supposed to do it. I ain't going to wait on the prophet. I'm going to do myself." Wait a minute, Saul. You're leading. You know what you're going to end up with? You're making a few bad choices, and one of these days you'll be so far away from getting a hold of the Lord, you're going to try to get a hold of the Lord, and you won't find the Lord. At the end of it, you're going to have to seek for a familiar spirit from a woman from Endor. It's called the Witch of Endor, and you're going to have to seek a witch instead of the Lord because you've made decisions way back in your life not to humble yourself. Come time that he faced up to, the Lord told him to go to do something. It wasn't a hard thing to do. Even I can understand what the descriptions of utterly destroy means. And he come down to knowing what did he ought to have done, and he didn't do it because he had a rebellious spirit in it. You can read that, those verses and tell. He was not going to do what the Lord wanted him to do, and it's better. Lord don't care about the sacrifice you're going to make with those things. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Rebellion is just witchcraft, Saul. How did you get from that place? Remember, he reached out and rent the prophet's garment. How did you get to the place you're going to put your hands on God's prophet? You started way back on it with a choice, with an attitude, with a thing that you didn't correct. And it comes to these, this is where it goes. This is where it inevitably is going to go. So there's a five forks, and a traveler comes along, a man that's going to the city. He's going to the celestial city. He's going to heaven. And he comes up to the five forks, and what the scripture is saying, don't run headlong. Choices are important. You don't come up and say, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. You don't come up and say, I'm going to take this road because this is where the most traffic's at. Well, this is the easiest one to go. All these different choices. Saul took a road. He took the wrong road. Different ones come up to that kind of place. Achan, what do you think you're doing? Do you realize that Achan was one of the faithful? Achan walked across the Jordan like everybody else. Achan had seen what the Lord had done. All those things were, at what point in his life did he become covetous enough and greedy enough that it was worth doing what he done? You don't think there was consequences? One of these five roads has this on us for tonight. You know what he did? He caused his family to get stoned. He made a terrible choice. And he was a victim of the choice that he had made because it come back. You're not going to hide anything from God. God knows where you're at tonight. You can't hide that from the Lord. I thank God that he's merciful and that he helps us in these kind of places. But you know, left to its course, choices are going to get us. The choices that we make. There's a number of choices down the road you go. But the Lord said to the man to come up to that place, he didn't say run. He said stand in the way. And what he's referring to is get direction. This is important. This is important. Cry out. Pray. Seek those that know. Find the way. There's been others that come to these forks. All that went before us will come to these forks. You think there's anything new in life, really? Those that lived this life before us, those that's been faithful, right here in Oklahoma City, they've come to these same roads that we come into. Maybe it's a different world in a sense, but the devil's the same. The temptation's the same. All of those things are the same. And you come down and say, what did they do? What road did they take? Well, that's a humble path. That's the way they took. What road do I take here? How do I get there? Stand ye in the way, the scripture says. And see and ask, for what? The old paths? That's a little fuddy-duddy, isn't it? Oh, you mean saying, singing the same 512 songs? I mean, is that it? I mean, the old way? Do you know there is a lot of truth? There's a lot of blessings in these songs. What, these old scriptures? You mean this old scripture? This old scripture's been around for a long, long time. We used to have a big family Bible that laid there. I mean, this has been around a long time. Ask for the old past, the ones that worked, the ones that people's been successful for. The idea, the modern idea that you can do anything, that's the way it is. You know, there was a few years ago, there was a situation to where it wasn't in this country, but another country. But there was a situation to where a church congregation got rid of their pastor because he was an atheist. And he turned around and sued them for wrongful dismissal of his office, arguing that him being an atheist had nothing to do with his ability to minister. Go figure. Think that's funny? This is how blinded the world's getting. You and I look at that and say, well, that would be preposterous. We really, truly believe that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and we expect the pastor to be able to have it. We expect the pastor to be able to get a hold of God and have the Spirit of God work in his life. We expect it. We don't expect an atheist to be able to do the spiritual work. I'm not saying he couldn't speak. I imagine he probably could. He might have even been charismatic. He might have been very gifted at speaking and all that. But we're sitting here saying that's absurd. An atheist couldn't perform the true work. There's all kind of paths. Lord, help us. Ask for the old paths. So the old path is, where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. Oh, it might not be glamorous. In my mind's eyes, there's always a better looking road. There's always a smoother road. There's always a better traveled road. This road may not have none of those things, but it's the way the saints and martyrs have trod. It's the way faithful people have chose to go. And in that, there will be sacrifices many times. This path many times will have brambles sticking out. This will be a straight and narrow way. It'll be difficult in areas. It'll be a hard place at times to get through those kind of places. But he's saying, ask for this place. If it costs a little skin squeezing through, it's worth it. This is the choice. This is the right choice for each and every one of us. So here's, ask for it. And it says, and walk therein. And we come to choice. Right? And so they say, we will not walk in it. There was another scripture where the Lord says, I'll put it in my own thinking. It's like he says, angels, my angels, I want you to come and look. For my people have committed two sins. This is a marvel at what they did. This is the choice that they make. Here is I am the fountain of living water. Fresh, vibrant, life-giving. It satisfies to drink it. You know what I'm saying? You get a good cold drink of water, what it feels like. And they rejected me, the fountain of living water, and dug themselves cisterns, cut holes in rocks, hammers and chisels. Right over here is the water is running free, but we're not going to drink that water. We want to do this ourselves. We want to do it our own way. And so they dig a cistern, and then there's no water in it. So they put water in it. And the water becomes stale, and what's not, it leaks out. And what don't leak out is stale and bad. Would you want to drink it after it sits there? And the Lord was marveled at such a thing, at the choices that people was making. How do you suppose tonight that, don't want to have to explain it too much, but how do you suppose that our nation has got to where it's gotten? How do you suppose we've got to the place, and I want to say here, because I know the world that I live in, and I want to say this right now, we are taught of Jesus, and God loves everybody. Yes. Unconditional love. And we're taught to have the Spirit of God, and we love everybody. Truly, to the very best of what we want for them is the very best of this life and the life to come. But I want to say this. How do you suppose we got to a place though you can't even, people, Supreme Court justices couldn't even define the word woman? Yes. And when the Lord said in the beginning, he gave very little definition to this other than the creation, other than he made us in his image and he made them male and female, made he them. It's not hard to understand that that's what he did. All my life I've understood that pretty much. When I'm not old enough anything. It's set in all of nature and everywhere around it. How do you suppose we've got to such a ridiculous mindset that the arguments that are going in, the divisions and all the ridiculous things that's happening in our world, how do you suppose that happened? It didn't just happen in 2023. The spirit of this thing and the choices made happened years ago. The proper people put in the proper places happened years ago. The decisions for me, for the people to neglect things had happened years ago. We're just now picking fruit, if you will. We're just now seeing where choices have went. And if you think that there's not more of that, hang on. I'm going to tell you right now that we will face, this nation will be a victim of its choices. This United States and the world will be a victim of the choices that they made. We're going to have to deal with these absurd choices. Somewhere along the line, the idea of taking little children and start to manipulate their minds and change their order, all for your devious ideas about what a man and a woman is, to start changing them and do that is brutal. God isn't for it in any way, and I'm going to tell you the consequences is going to have to be severe. It will be, and we'll be a victim of our own choices and those kind of things. Well, we can't save the whole world, but I want to bring it down because we will individually be victims of our decisions. To live for the Lord, what did he say? Serve the Lord with sincerity, honesty and truth. Serve him real. Serve him right. And those kind of decisions will also play the next generation. It is the nature of it. I think maybe Galatians says this, God is not mocked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, for whatsoever choices a man makes, he's going to be a victim of it. For whatsoever a man sows, so shall he also reap. It's sure enough in it. Our children can't escape the choices that we make. The people in our world can't escape the choices that we make. They are going to have to be in that part of it too. But I want to tell you, God can deliver. He's a delivering God. God can make the difference in this. And I'm going to tell you, there was a lot of things I'd done in my early life that God cut short me being a victim of those choices and gave me a newness to start over with. That is the blessings of the Lord. But I can say this, many of those choices followed me anyway. I had to deal with choices that I made. It's just that I had God to change the future and the choices that I was making. Lord, help us. But they said, we will not walk in it. We're just not going to do it. Yeah, I'm going to look at a few places in the scriptures that speaks on this point. Over in Luke. Twelfth chapter of Luke. All the decisions that starts in our minds. The things that we long for are the things that we want. The things that we think is important. Are they really? Okay, Luke 12. Oh, I see. 16, this is a parable. This is the way it goes. 12 and 16 of Luke. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, oh, choices. Choices, starting with what we desire. Choices, starting with what's in our heart. Choices, the choices I make, starting with something down in there. This man had something down in there. It says that he thought. The reality was that he was a rich man. And he had put his money to something that he thought would increase, and it did. And he brought forth plenty. And so now he's in the position that he's about to have to make a choice. And this is all the choice that he can think of. I can think of a better choice. I know the story. So I can know of a better thought pattern than this man had. I can think of the scripture saying that, and the Lord saying here that a rich man, because you can be rich of the blessings of the Lord. You got to do what the Lord wants you to. And you definitely can be a farmer. You can plant with the expectation of gaining something, because there's nothing wrong with any of that. And so if you allow me this liberty, that could have said that this rich man, then he thought in his heart, thank you, God, for the blessings that you've given me in life. I don't deserve them. And I want, Lord, to use this for your glory in whatever way you want me to. That would be the beginning stage of choice that he makes. Then he very well may have said, well, I'm going to need someplace to put this, so maybe, Lord, what do you want me to do? Build a bigger barn? The whole problem wasn't this. You know what the real problem was in this? We'll read it in show. It's pretty evident. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all of my fruits and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So here's the lesson of it. There's not anything wrong with increasing and doing those things. But the choices. What's the real choice that we've made in life? Here was a choice that he had made. He had made to get his ease and comfort and all of those things by the material goods of this world. And I'll tell you right now, it will not sustain you. Amen. There is pleasure for sin in a season. There is some comfort knowing that I got food for tomorrow. There is something good about knowing that my house is stormproof or that I have a cellar to run into. But I want to tell you, none of this compares to the fact that you might give an account for your soul tonight. Oh, and he said, thou fool, you did all of the things and you did them well maybe, but you did not make the right choice. The right choice here. You're going to be a victim of your own bad choices. Because they will stick with you. At some point or another, the scripture actually says to us that some men's sins are open. And some men's sins will never be open here. They'll go to the judgment. You know what you're going to be from those bad choices? You're going to be a victim of the bad choices made. Every time I believe that the Lord dealt with your soul, every time that you felt that desire, I should do something. There's more to it than that. Every time you've done that, we'll come to your remembrance. Every moment that was turned down, every choice that was a bad one, and I have to give an account for that. So the scripture teaches us over in, I think it's Corinthians that I'm wanting, 2 Corinthians maybe. Second Corinthians 7th chapter, I think, where I'm wanting. Lord, help me to make good choices. 10th verse of the 7th chapter, 2 Corinthians. For godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of this world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. What carefulness. Boy, just think that what I do in this life is going to come up before me one day. I'm going to have to give an account for everything done. Passage of scripture over in, we'll come back to that one, but a passage of scripture that I look to often is in Ecclesiastes, 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes. Ninth verse says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes." Oh, to me, that's, he's almost talking of freedom there, isn't he? He says to the young, be young. You're only young once. There are young people, there'll be young things in your life that you can do now that you'll never have opportunity to do again. This is the time, he says to the young man, run and jump. Live life. Do these things. But always in your mind, know this, that you're going to be a victim of your own bad choices. And you're not going to get away from the bad choices that you make. You may start off with just the idea that peer pressure is too much for me, and you may reach for that pack of cigarettes, and you might start that smoking, but I'm going to tell you, it's got claws in it, and you will be a victim of that choice somewhere along the line. How many young people have died from drug overdoses and from car wrecks of alcoholism and all these things, and life become and got short, and all it was dated back to a time where they started and made a choice to run with the wrong ones, to do the wrong thing, to start the wrong thing. They started that. God's merciful and thankful for it, but I'm going to tell you, you're a victim of your own bad choices. But he says here in this, young man, go after it, but know thou that for all of these things, God will bring thee into judgment. So do it with the mind. Do what you do. Do everything you do with this mind. I'm going to be a victim of what I've done. And God at the end of this is going to bring this into judgment. Everything I've done is going to have an account for it. Walk, he said, be careful. Carefulness, what carefulness it wrought in thee. What clearing of yourself. Yea, what indignation, and what fear, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge, and all these things ye have proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. You come to the place of what carefulness, I'm careful about what I'm doing, understanding that there's going to be a consequence for what I'm doing. And it starts way back. It starts way back with a single choice. We want to have one more scripture, 15th chapter of Luke, familiar scripture to most of us. 15, is that what I want? Fifteen and 11, a certain man. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided to them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. He took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Here we go. Young man, you're going to be a victim of your own bad choices. You're going to have to pay for all of these things. I wonder where it really started. You know, he was at the father's house. He was blessed. You could say, obviously, not everybody in his world had a fatted calf to kill. Not everybody in his world had a father that cared. You know, there's a lot of people in the world today that don't know who the father is, don't know where he's at or where he's gone. There's a lot of people that don't have the privilege of home and family and to sleep in their own bed night after night and to have a meal prepared every day. There's a lot of people like that in this world. I ran into somebody recently they're getting up. They're not children. I say they're up in years, and they had never stayed in a house. They had never had shoes on their feet. You say, well, where in the world? You know there's people like that in the world without the blessings that they had. I wonder where the discontentment. Do you know what discontentment started here? This is where this starts. The desire, the passion. Lord, help me with this. No, I come to this place. I want to say it to the young people because I know what life's like. Things can get boring. They can need a challenge, those kind of things. That's where I would say, stand ye in the way. Seek the Lord for this. This is a crucial moment. And just because the city lights are glowing and it looks fun and there's a lot of noise down there, it will be fun for a while. That's not what it's going to end. You're going to be a victim of that. We don't want you to be a victim of bad choices. We've seen too many victims of bad choices. Too much heartache, too many broken down things, too much disaster. Too many mothers weeping and crying. Too much sadness and sorrow from a life ended too quick. Too much shipwreck. But he looked somewhere. Maybe I've been here in this old world all this time, singing the same songs, going through the same circle, same place. Oh, we need the Lord to help us. Do you know it's got to be real? If it's not, it don't work. It doesn't matter what these, it doesn't work unless it's real in your own heart, in your own life. So the young man, he asked the father, do you think the father had enough wisdom to know this ain't good? Oh, the father knew it wasn't good. But he's also going to allow the young man, you can't hold him. You can't keep him. We can't keep you. We can't hold you. If you're determined to go, you'll go. The only thing we can do is plead and say, you're going to be a victim of your own bad choices. So the young man, we know this story. It's a wonderful story. So the young man, he divides his living, and not many days after, the young son gathered all, I can see the excitement, can't you? Can't you visualize this man, this young man, and he's giddy, and he's ready, he's chomping. He's ready to go. Gathered together, he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man would give it to him. And when he came to himself, he said, I'm going to tell you about a choice. He made a long line of bad choices. He made a bad choice, if you give me liberty for this, to sit or lay down his head at night and ponder and dream of a far distant country, to dream what it would be like to be in the world, to dream to be what it would be like to have the fun and the excitement that the world has, to sing the song and dance the dances and to run the nightlife or whatever it was. That was a bad choice to allow himself to get a heart toward those things. And that's given liberty. The scripture doesn't say it, but that's usually the way things work in our life. You get to say, this ain't working for me, and all of these things, and I had a longing for it, and it's there to drain the young man. It's there to hurt him, but he sees it and he longs for it. And that was a bad choice. The next bad choice is to actually take his substance in and go so far away from what was secure and safe and protective to him. That was a bad decision to go and get friends of a foreign country because they didn't think the way he did. They didn't have the same heart that he was raised. And it was bad, all the thing down, bad decisions. But I'm going to tell you, he comes down and now there's a good decision. There's a choice here to be made. What am I going to do now that I'm down in this place? I made some bad choices. You know why Jesus come? He come for bad choices. He come for the victims of bad choices. If we'd all made good choices from the start, been no need. We didn't. We began our lives with bad choices. Jesus come to the one that made bad choices. The young man's about to make a different choice. And when he came to himself, he realized where he was at. How many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet, I love this part. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Now, he had compassion and ran and made. Now, can't see vision. See, on my mind, there's this kind of road that kind of goes down through the valley, and up here is the home place and this beautiful place, and up on the edge of the rise, there stands a father, and he's looking toward the distant horizon in the hopes that his son will come back. Because it's the only way that you could picture that while he was a great way off, that his father saw him. He anticipated. And I'm going to tell you something. The young man still had done things. We would say it's better off not to do that. And I'll also say this of my own perspective of life. Most prodigals never come back up the road. Most of them die in the pig pen. This is a story, though, of mercy. There's a lot in this story, even to the eldest son, but this is a lot in here that the heart of God is for you to come home. The heart of God is don't make those bad decisions. Don't make the bad choices. Don't be a victim of the circumstances of this life. You don't need to be a victim of bad choices. You don't have to come down to the end with these plagues of life on you. You don't have to come down with the brokenness and the dysfunction that humans get in their life. You don't have to come down to that. You can come down whole. Choices. When he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and a shoe on his feet. And shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. That choice and the benefit of that choice went with that young man for a long ways. You pray for me.